priest decided to enter a monastery. He joined one particularly strict sect. The head monk told him at his introduction that they were sworn to total silence. They could not speak one word at all. However, every 10 years, they would be permitted to speak two words. After 10 years of total silence, the head monk indicated it was time for him to speak his two words. The monk said, "Bed hard," and then resumed his silence. Another 10 years passed, and the head monk indicated again it was time to speak his two words. The monk said, "Food bad," and then he resumed his silence. Another 10 years passed, and the head monk again indicated it was time for him to speak his two words. The monk said, "I quit." The head monk shook his head and said, "I know this is coming. You've been doing nothing but complaining for 30 years. You know, as we are in this very powerful portion of Scripture, and not that the whole book of Philippians isn't, but as we engage in the rest of chapter 2, or the next portion of chapter, not the rest of it, I assure you, in terms of what Paul instructs after he has said such powerful things in verses 12 and 13, he continues in verse 14 to say, do everything without complaining or arguing. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. And so do everything without complaining or arguing. First thing we would say about this, we do have to remember that in the larger context of chapter 2, Paul is dealing with the unity of the church, being like-minded, you know, not being selfish in our orientation. He's really just continuing this instruction. And we think about what we would do in terms, well, do and not do in terms of reinforcing that unity. Certainly complaining and arguing would be something that would disrupt that. Would we agree? And so therefore, that's just another piece of what Paul is building in this puzzle, in this instruction about bringing the church together. It is also interesting that these commands follow the powerful verses before them. You know, when it says in verse 12, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. That's where we've been over the past couple of weeks. And after saying what all that you should do to invest in your Christian life and build it up in you, all God is doing to invest in your Christian life and build you up, now don't complain and argue. It kind of raises the bar in terms of how important that is. I think it's a couple of reasons. I think first, it's probably likely that the Philippians were dealing with that, that they were dealing with complaining and arguing, and so therefore, as Paul is addressing the unity of the church, hey, you got to look at, you know, what you're doing in the aspect of what you're thinking about your situation, different aspects of what you're complaining about, and then what you're arguing between each other. But I would also suggest that complaining particularly is an important aspect of what we would avoid in terms of our whole lives. You know, it's just interesting to me that the Bible, just in general, always discourages us to have negative dynamics in our souls. You know, don't be angry, don't be afraid, you know, don't complain. All the things that would come in and corrupt us in terms of the way that we think, the way that we process things, and yet everything it says we should do is all about the positive. Be thankful, be grateful, praise, be kind, be generous, you know, be gracious. All the things that God would foster in our minds to not only benefit other people, but also benefit ourselves in terms of our hearts. So I think this whole aspect of complaining and arguing is just a very important dynamic of what we would consider in our Christian lives. You know, if you think about it, that all sin ultimately is done in the context of dissatisfaction. Everything we do that's disobedient to God is some aspect of complaining. I mean, what we're saying effectively in sin is, God, I don't believe you for what you've said to do or the provision you have made, so I'm going to chart my own course. You know, think about what Satan did in the garden in terms of creating dissatisfaction in Eve's head. Like, oh, you know, what did God say? Did he really say that? He's trying to keep you from something. And so therefore, that is always what is behind disobedience. And so, again, this whole idea of complaining, I think, is bigger than we would imagine in terms of why Paul puts it in this place in terms of a primary thing we would work out, a primary thing we would address, a primary thing we would look at and be concerned about. When you find yourself complaining about something, Be very intentional about how you address that and ultimately find God's provision in the context of that. And please don't miss everything. Well, everything in the Bible, but the word everything in verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. I mean, how much is everything? It's everything, right? In other words, there's no caveat, there's no exception, but you don't know my neighbor, or you don't know my coworker, you don't know my husband, you don't know my wife, you don't know my children, you know, all these different things in terms of what we would complain about. And so therefore, do everything without complaining. Well, whether you're doing the dishes, working the line, you know, engaging in conversation, disciplining your children, dealing with your parents, whatever it might be, do everything without complaining. And so the first word we will look at here, complaining, was actually used for the cooing of doves. So loud, outspoken dissatisfaction is not the picture here, but quieter undercurrents of discontent. So this is not about the person that blah, 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 blah. It's a subtle thoughts that come in our heads that, oh, I just don't really like this. You know, so why did it have to be this way? What did that happen? Person have to be that way? What's it? And then you have those subtle thoughts in your heads, and then you make the phone calls in terms, like, you're not complaining out loud. Like, people may not know that you're a complainer. Maybe a group of friends do. That again, when you find in a situation, you know, you visit someone's house and they provide a lunch and it's all great and, oh, you know, I'm smiling at you, but I'm complaining in my mind. I'm smiling at you when in my presence, but I'm going home and calling the other people and saying, can you believe she served that? Can you believe she did that? You know, and so there's that gossipy, complaining aspect of, again, no, don't function in that way. But that is more the picture that is given here. And what do we normally complain about? Again, to me, if we're going to address not complaining about not complaining, we have to think about what do we normally complain about? And so there, I think, first and foremost, we complain about ourselves. You know, who am I? What you know, my hair, my nose, my body, like the different things that we complain. Well, why aren't I as good as that guy? Why don't I do it as good as that? Why am I as smart as that guy? Complaining about ourselves. You know, we are a combination of us, God, and others in terms of the different dynamics of what we have done, choices we have made, what other people have done, and what God has done. In some ways, I think this aspect of not complaining about ourselves, a big part of it is just we have to trust God that He has done what He has done. You know, even in the aspect of what we have, the way we've been created, the amount of talent you have, the amount of intelligence you have, what your personality is, different aspects of just what you are by virtue of being born in 20, well, you aren't born in 2024. You exist, whenever you were born, whoever you were born to, whatever geography or situation, there's so much of not complaining that is about just trusting God. You know what you're doing. So therefore, you are what you are. And those aspects, again, that you don't control, other people haven't affected. It's just what God has done. We can trust Him. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing in terms of completing you as the person that you are, giving you an opportunity to glorify Him in the context you are, just being content, finding that place of praise even, thanking God for what He has done for you in terms of what you have been made. You know, think about what others have done. I think there's an aspect of just being honest about that, recognizing that. You know, if you've been in a situation that others have affected your life, so now you're in a certain circumstance or you are in a certain way, well, there's just another aspect of just accepting what God's provision would be in the midst of that. Like maybe an example would be, again, someone get hit by a drunk driver. You now are in a wheelchair because you got hit by a drunk driver. What do you do? You don't complain about that. It stinks. It's not a good thing. But as an example of that, you wouldn't complain. That's part of the everything, right? And so therefore, I use that analogy of the ways that you have been affected by virtue of what other do in everything. Don't complain. There's always an aspect of coming to God for His consolation, for His will, for His purpose. God, either you have allowed this or you have orchestrated it. And so therefore, for both of those, we should turn to God and say, it's all good. If you have just allowed this, or again, you've actually done it, it's all good. That I promise you that that is the kind of faith the Bible calls you to. You know, there's also an aspect that I always like to point to is that as we look at the commands of the Bible, that it's not just God saying to us, this is what you should do, but this is what you have the opportunity to do. That as God gives a complaint, gives a verse or a command about not complaining, what God says in that is, I give you a capacity not to complain. Like, God is not going to give us a command and not give us a means to address that command. And so to realize God welcomes you and me into a life where we don't have to complain about things. But we have to process through the different thoughts we have about circumstance. Well, we will get to that. But what is a part of ourselves, and just realize it's all good in terms of why God has allowed or done something in terms of just myself. You know, anytime you find yourself complaining about yourself, you have to be intentional about what that's doing in you, what that's making your mind, and finding in God's provision and God's glory and the opportunities God gives you in the midst of that. I mean, what do we normally complain about? We certainly complain about others too, right? Why is that person that way? Why did the coworker say that? You know, other people, we find ourselves complaining about that. The reality of life is you cannot control other people. Let me say it again. You cannot control other people. Maybe I should say it again. You cannot control other people. What I always say is you get to be you and they get to be them. And as long as you say that you want a right to be you, well, guess what? They have a right to be them as well. See, you can't control people. Oh, I did both of those together. I thought I separated them. But you can control your reaction to them and how you let them affect you and what you do in response. See, what I believe complaining does, it directs us away from the things we can work on and causes us to perseverate and focus on the things that we can't work on. Or again, it saps us of the willingness and the energy to work on it because of the fact that I'm complaining about the things. See, again, you can't control people, but you can control your reaction to them. What am I going to do in response? What am I going to do to that? You know, how am I going to let them affect me? What am I going to do in response to them? Again, such better important things that we would focus on. Now, not another thing that's important in terms of understanding how we would address our complaining about others. You know that not complaining does not stop you from confronting, holding accountable, reinforcing consequences, and making decisions that are right. You know, again, maybe going back to that dynamic of you're hit by the alcoholic, and now all of a sudden this is what's happening. Like, it's right for you to say, I'm going to bring you to court. I'm going to go to your insurance. I'm going to get what is mine in terms of what I just don't need to complain in the context of that. So it's not about, oh, we just accept everything and nothing. No, you still address things in a way that would be biblical, but you don't stay within yourself. See, the Bible is always about confronting things, approaching people, dealing with situations, taking responsibility. And what complaining does is, again, it distracts us from all those other things, makes us think we're doing something about it. What are you doing about this bad situation where you're in? What do you mean? I'm putting a lot of effort into complaining. I'm doing something. But you're not doing something to fix the problem. And so the Bible is always about directing us to fix the problem. See, what you choose to focus on is very important, both in terms of where you're directing your energies, but then what is happening to your heart? What kind of person are you becoming by virtue of that? And so therefore, when you think about, you know, bad things that people are doing, like, okay, my children aren't doing what they're supposed to do. All right, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, what consequences are warranted? What discipline is warranted? You know, you've made bad choices. Okay, therefore you can't do this. Okay, you can't use the car because you did that. I don't need to complain about what you did. This is just what the consequence is. And all that is more than fitting. But we should be doing those things for the sake of others. I think an important aspect of, well, what that complaining does is the complaining is very self-centered. If there's anything about the dynamic of complaining, the reason why God would say, don't do that, don't go there, is because it's very self-centered in terms of how I'm affected, how I'm impacted, what's happening to me, and how bad I feel about what other people are doing or who I am and all that. And so even as we are addressing others and addressing the things that we don't like, that might be counterproductive to the will of God or the purpose of God or the truth of God. And so therefore we're addressing it, but we don't have to address it for us. We should be addressing it for other people. Like, I don't need you to change. I think what we do to other people, I don't need you to change for me. I want you to change for you. See, in terms of what God affords us in terms of trusting him and relying on him and believing him is to know that I'm in a good place just with him. And so therefore, I don't need you to be a certain way. And so therefore, now when I come to you and say, okay, here's the discipline, here's the consequence, here's what you need to do, here's what I'm going to do in response to what you have done, it's all about them and what they're doing, and what that does to change your affect, that, again, I don't need to defend myself, protect myself, or you better do this, because if you don't do this, I'm going to be very unhappy. That's not the way to live life, that my happiness is dependent on the way you act. If you don't stop acting this way, I can't be content, I can't be at peace, I can't have joy. What? You're going to give another person that much control? God, again, God welcomes you, us, into a far better thing. Say, yes, should you feel empowered? Should you promote the right? Should you like feel like I'm not just subject to all the bad things people would do to me or what they would be in my presence? I can do something. I can walk away. Or I can address it. Like there's things that God would have us do that aren't complaining, that the Bible would direct us to, you know, mainly about truth and thanksgiving and praise and finding the good in situations even when they're bad. And so an important aspect of making sure our heart is right even as we are confronting it is it's not about ourselves, it's about other people. So we normally complain about ourselves, about other people. We also complain about our circumstances. Once again, it's a combination of you, God, and others. Like the reason why you are where you are, you have what you have, the circumstances in terms of your condition, you know, what kind of job you have, what kind of family you have, what kind of house you have, what kind of car you drive, all those different dynamics, how healthy you are, all the things that would come in that would cause you to have dissatisfaction. That's what we need to look at. When I talk about circumstances, all the things that are in your circumstances that would create dissatisfaction in your heart, that would lead to then expressing that in complaining, all those things are some combination of what God has done, what you have done, what others have done. And in the same way, in terms of us complaining about ourselves, we just have to understand that God, you know, we can trust God for where we are and what he has placed us in. And the circumstances are there because of him. And then if our circumstances are because of you, then that's where the Bible would say, now change it. Again, if you want to complain about something, the Bible would say, don't complain about it, do something about it. I mean, there is a lot of complaining in our world. You know, we just have to realize that. Like if there's anything, I suppose social media has done a lot of things. But one thing it has done is given people an outlet to express their dissatisfaction. I don't like this. I don't like that. The government, the Trump, Biden, blah, 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 blah. Complaining about everything. you know, gas prices, you know, to believe how much expensive food is, all these different things. And so therefore what it has done, it has made us critical people. I mean, have you noticed before COVID, people would never address you the way they did before? Like, you know, maybe you like bump your carriage into like something and no one would say anything. Now, did you realize you bumped your carriage in there? Not someone's car. I'm saying like something simple. Like, do you realize you didn't walk on the crosswalk? Like, no one would ever say anything. This is my life. Maybe it's not in your life. I find I do something wrong that people would just mind their business. People don't mind their business anymore. They have to make a comment. Like, well, don't you realize you did that? You just put that food on the belt wrong. What? I didn't know there was a right protocol for it. What I'm saying is simple things that people normally, that don't matter, normally wouldn't say anything. But what I find in my life is now all of a sudden people are saying things because they have a critical spirit. Because social media has given them, particularly in COVID, the only thing you could do is be on social media and find all the bad things about situation. People just love to complain. It distracts them from life. It distracts them from solving their problems and just allows them to perciferate on them. And so part of the part of why I bring this up so much is because we are in an environment. We are amongst a society that is being very complainy. You know, when you think about, you know, the difference, such a big part of complaining is about comparison. So much about complaining is about you looking at who you are, looking at your circumstances, and then comparing it to other people, and then complaining about what you're not and what you don't have. And the American society is tailored to do that. Marketing is tailored to make you dissatisfied by what you have because they want you to buy something else. And that has just flowed into every aspect of our lives. And what we have to find is that contentment, that faith, that trust to know, you know, God, you have done what you have done. I have done what I have done. Other people have done what they have done. So therefore, I can find an aspect of how you're working through this, what you're going to do on my behalf, and not complain about it, not be negative towards it. Again, it's nothing wrong with changing your circumstances according to God's will. You know, in fact, I think the next phrase is a good one, that complaining focuses on the problem rather than the solution. And so that's why God, you know, isn't on that page. He's not on board with that in terms of encouraging us to be complainers, because he wants us to solve things. You know, all that God does in giving us free will, holding us responsible for the decisions that we have made, but I think the better part of that is to say, if you have chosen to get yourself into a situation, you can choose to get yourself out. Like, the hardest thing is to be in a situation that you can't choose to get yourself out. But you know what I say the Bible says? Is do everything without complaining. You know, Thursday morning Bible study, we actually shared aspects of this, and two people shared about, yeah, I wake up with pain every morning. You know, can this be a day without pain? You know, I have a tumor, and it's just what it is. And, you know, I got to the point that the person testified that I realized that compared to God, it just doesn't matter. That what is more important is God and who he is and what he is doing for me in the context of that, what he is doing through me in the context of that. Like, I assure you, if you are in a situation that you don't have control over it, that this is just the circumstance that God has you in, I promise you, you will know God in a way that no one else knows him. No one else but people like you know him because of all the consolation he brings. You know, when Paul has his thorn and he's praying to God, get rid of the thorn, get rid of the thorn. You know what God didn't do? He didn't get rid of the thorn. But what did Paul recognize in the context of that? My grace is sufficient for you. And remember, when he says my grace is sufficient for you, it doesn't mean grace is just enough. It means grace is the only thing you need. The way the Bible describes grace is abundant. It's big. It's huge. So Paul's like, oh, God's grace is sufficient. It's going to meet you just where you are. It's going to be just, no. It's the only thing you need. That's what he's telling you. That's what that means. That they, like when you took, when you're dealing with the thorn and you're looking for how do I resolve this? How do I do this without complaining? I want to do what the Bible says. How do? Because you find a grace in God that is complete, that resolves, that is better than life. I'm to know that ultimately that all of us have heaven waiting for us. That everything we experience on this earth is temporary in nature. You know, and whether there is a crown of life, I can't use biblical terms because I'm not sure, I can't, what the crown of life is identified and given for. But if there's a crown for those that, you know, something, you dealt with the thing, you didn't cause it, you just bore the implications of it, and a great grace, a great consolation is on you because of that, because you've done it faithfully. You've worshiped, you've praised, you've thanked in spite of your circumstances. And then that ultimately is what God, that's ultimately what God would call you to, but it's also something that God empowers and enables. See, God is calling us to be people of spirit and not people of flesh. Calling us people to be people of eternity, infinite, not finite. And so whatever God needs to do to strip us of our dependence on the finite, on the flesh, I think that's what God is trying to do. And so therefore we embrace that and say, you know something, you know, like part of the problem is John 21 and our tendency to compare. Well, God, why me though? Like if everyone was in that situation, it'd be far easier to deal with. But it's not when you're in the place, it's not a great aspect of God, but it is a true aspect of God that's just the way God does it. And it just is the way it is. Like there's no, like God is just orchestrating something. I assure you that when we go to heaven and we say, God, why did you let this happen? He'll know exactly why he let it happen. He knew exactly why he did it the way he did. You know, parents passing before their time, children passing before their time. Don't complain about anything. See, to me, on the other side of that has to be a great God that can cause me not to complain about anything. And are we willing to get to know that kind of God that is so complete that now everything in life just doesn't matter. If it happens, great. I have health, great. You have money, great. You can enjoy things and you're talented, great. Be that. But don't hang on to it. Don't make it like if all of a sudden that can't happen anymore. Like all of a sudden you get arthritis in your hand, you can't play the instrument anymore. You forgot how to draw pictures, those architects. You know, guy, you lost the crayons, I can't draw the... I'm joking, that's an architect joke. But anyway, whatever capacity you have. See, if we by definition in our lives, well, this goes back to Spencer's sermon a little bit, that... We can't help but identify ourselves with things. Why am I a good person? Why am I here on this? Well, I'm a mother. I'm a father. I'm an employee. I'm a musician. I play basketball well. Whatever it might be. And all of a sudden what happens when those things get stripped away, what we are tend to do as human beings is complain about it. And God says, be thankful. Believe. Trust. That I know what I'm doing. John 21 is this great story where, again, Peter needs to come back to Jesus. Jesus gives him, you denied me 3 times. I'm going to ask you a question 3 times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And of course I love you. I would die for you. Yeah, you know, you're right. You're going to be brought to a place that you don't want to go.
Oh, yeah? Well, wait, I didn't mean you to go that far, Jesus. I just wanted to... Well, then, what's Peter's natural inclination? Well, what about him? If that's going to happen to me, what about him? And he says, forget about him. You follow me. There's an aspect of God coming to each of us as believers in Jesus Christ, and you follow me. And part of following me is finding the praise, finding the faith, finding the thanksgiving, even in the midst of things, yourself, others, or circumstances, where you don't complain. Because you trust God and you believe him for all he is and all that he had accomplished before you, through you, by you, all that. Where does complaining come from? I mean, who was the first complainer? Right? I mean, Satan is the first complainer. I should be God. What do you mean you're God? I should be God. He loves to... There's just so much here. Continue. I mean, it does come from dissatisfaction in your heart. You know, there is an aspect of, you know, this projection that we do, that we're complaining about this thing over here. Like, we're really dissatisfied about this thing over here, and so therefore now something comes up over here, and I'm complaining more about that than it deserves because I'm really dissatisfied about that. You just have to watch that as a dynamic of the human soul. I'm really mad about what's happening at home, so someone cuts me off on the road and I go ballistic. I think you're not upset about the guy cutting you off. You're really just upset over here. There's a dissatisfaction that can be in our heart that just makes us complaining people, makes us critical people, makes us discontent. And God, again, welcomes you not to have to be that way. Because you and others are, I mean, Satan just loves to breed and reinforce that. Again, he is the first complainer. He likes human beings complaining to God rather than praising him. I mean, in some ways, complaining is a wrong way of handling human inclinations. See, the fact that you realize there is a gap between what should be and what is, complaining is trying to meet that gap. But the Bible says that's not how you meet that gap. Those gaps exist, and it is there. You're thinking accurately, but what would you do in the context of that? Again, believe, praise, thank. I thought you had a question, Cindy. The next phrase is a good one. The Bible doesn't say we have to like everything or agree with everyone. You know, just realize that. This is not complaining is about liking everything. It's not about liking everything. It's not about agreeing with everyone. It's just not complaining in the midst of what you don't like or don't agree. You know, when it comes to church, and I think I will just close with this. Not bad to pick this up next week. Like when you think of it, like Paul is writing the Philippians in the context of church. And so therefore it's fitting for me to talk about church, right? And complaining in church. What I would point you to in terms of what you would complain about with people, you know, with programs, whatever it might be, is the difference between the what's and the how's. And see, if you disagree about the what's, that's more important than disagreeing about the how's. But what the Bible would always say to you, if you don't like something about, I would say particularly this church or how we conduct ourselves or whatever, I am open to hearing that. You have some better idea? like take that complaining and rather than making it about the problem, make it about the solution and making us something better. But distinguishing, like, well, you get what I'm saying, hopefully, that when you talk about what we do, should we instruct children? Yes, we should. Should we worship God? Yes, we should. Should we edify and build up believers? Yes, we should. Should we reach the world and promote the gospel? See, those are the what's. How you do that, there's going to be a cacophony of opinion about how, okay, we should instruct children. How do you do that? Okay, we should reach out to the world. How do you do that? Yes, we should worship God. How do you do that? You know, I want to hear opinions from everyone in terms of that. Like, Again, I'm not asking you to agree with everything that we do or like everything we do. But if you have something that is about a talent or a gift or a capacity, a spiritual gift, a spiritual word, discerning spirit, whatever it might be, bring it to the table. I want to hear it. A church should be defined by every person that considers themselves a member of that church. So just realize, you don't have to complain about anything. You can just talk to me. You can talk to the elders. Because again, we want to improve, we want to be better, but just distinguishing, are you talking about a what or are you talking about a how? Because if you're talking about, like, even to the point of we find agreement around the what's, like, okay, we all agree with instructing children, but now we might disagree about the how, but realize we have agreement about the what. Like, the how is almost secondary in, like, fostering a relationship and protecting ourselves from complaining. Like, don't complain. Like, when you complain about the hows, it just means you have a different opinion. You have a different approach. But when you agree with the what, like, boy, that person is worshiping God. Oh, they're not doing it so well. Well, how, I don't like, but they're chanting. They're coming up with a monk's prayer, or, oh, I don't like that. Well, wait a minute, though. Are they praising God? Like, what's more important, how they do it or what they're doing? You know, as long as what they're doing is commensurate with what the goal is, then there's a point of recognizing what that is. And so, but again, there's an aspect of you not complaining in every aspect of your life. I care most about the complaining you would do in the context of church. And just know that is not always bad where the human inclination comes from, where the human thought comes from, but now how do I process that? How do I engage with that? What do I do with that? And I'm saying that's where conversation, that's where interaction, that's where approaching someone is the right way. And so therefore, God in many ways doesn't want us to be stuck. I'll end with this. God doesn't want us to be stuck. Complaining, fear, all those negative dynamics, focus on circumstance, focus on condition, and keeps us stuck. God wants us to move forward. And with all the power, provision, promises, presence he gives us, always allows us to move forward. And so I think that's part of how we do everything without complaining or arguing. Let's bow and let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are this kind of God. And I just pray that more and more we grasp hold of you. In all that has been hard, all that has been hurtful, all that has been confusing, all that has been of us and the wrong things we have done. Father, I pray in all of it we would find an overwhelming, overarching, overcoming, transforming, powerful, energizing God that can take us from today and bring us to a better tomorrow, whatever that might be. Sometimes changing circumstances, sometimes not. But God, you are still good, and you are still able, and you are still wise, and we still believe. I pray that faith becomes an essential part of the core of our being, the core of our attitude, that our affect to the world now is transformed as the world is increasingly dissatisfied with life. Father, we find a satisfaction in you that we can go to the world and say, this is overcoming. How'd you like a piece of this? I pray that you develop that in us. And so, Father, we just lift this up to you in the name of your Son, Jesus.